Lord be with you.
Also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you,
Lord. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." Mary stayed outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he had told her. The good news of salvation.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Celebrate today the Feast of Mary Magdalene. I would imagine all of us have different images in our minds of who was this woman and what was her place in Christianity. Some of our images might be formed by movies we've seen. Hollywood like to do special things and painters being a certain way. More recently, biblical scholars have recognized her as being a woman who was freed, was healed in a way that changed her life. She came to Jesus as a disciple, and a faithful one at that. Someone who...
Turn on your microphone, please.
Yeah, I think your microphone's not on. I'll push it toward you.
Thank you. As I was saying, it's good for us to imagine who Mary Magdalene was. And I know some of us have been informed by perhaps some of old Catholic teaching that we might have received, kind of confused different Marys. Could be for certain reasons that was suiting those in power. But let's say it's really great that she's been recovered, who she is and who she appears to be in scriptures, right? Someone who was freed by Jesus in a way that changed her life. She became a faithful disciple. She was one who was with him in his execution. Someone who had the strength to go to anoint his body. She was the one who saw him and received a commissioning to go tell the apostles that he was alive. It's so good that she's being held up and seen for the bold, strong, incredibly faithful disciple that she was. And in our day and age, I think many women look to her, women of faith, as someone they want to like follow. It's like, yes, tomorrow I'm going to the parish of Mary Magdala, and they're celebrating their feast day, and it'll be really good because they really hold her up in such high esteem, and as we begin to learn more about her through scripture scholars and reflect upon her life, I think it's just beneficial for us. In our first reading, we hear this beautiful reading about wisdom. And at the end, it says, she renews all things, generation after generation. She enters into holy souls and makes them friends of God and prophets. Wisdom. Wisdom took a hold of Mary of Magdala in the teachings of Jesus. As she opened herself to the Spirit on Pentecost, Mary became so filled with God's life, so filled with the message of Jesus' resurrection that she shared that for the rest of her life. There is a story in the legends of Mary Magdala that she went to the emperor, and when you go to the emperor, you're supposed to present a gift, and so she went with an egg. And as she used that as an image to describe the resurrection, death and resurrection of Jesus, as she held this, as it was given to him, it turned red, honoring the passion of Jesus and what that meant. So we'll have that image later for us. But think about that sense of wisdom coming to us, this beautiful first reading. It's like you read this and you're like, I want wisdom, please, right here, please. I need wisdom. Please give me wisdom in my life. I was talking with a fellow who's been in med school for many years, trying to learn everything he can to become a good doctor. My most likely future daughter-in-law, she's looking to start an 8-year path towards becoming a dentist. And you just think, wow, that's an incredible amount of study. Some of you in your professional lives, some of you in whatever you have done, all of you in living life, you've had to learn and study something to have a profession, right? And it might have taken years to become an expert in that. And what we'll do to become that, right? And then I think sometimes, in my own life, have I sort of pushed the hunger for wisdom off to the side and have forgot like how paramount she needs to be in my life? The other thing that's so beautiful about this is in Hebrew scripture, she is the face of the feminine of God, which unfortunately was sort of lost over centuries in our own Mary. I think Mary, the mother of Jesus, was that for many of us for so long. And as we're recovering in our scriptures, recovering our understanding of the feminine face of God, we see that in so many places. We see it in Mary Magdala, right? But how do we receive wisdom? How does it come to us, you know? I think Mary must have received it, you know, listening to Jesus, listening to the scriptures. I can imagine the apostles sharing their experiences and others sharing their experiences of healing, of freedom that they experienced. And how did that wisdom enter into her? In our own lives, who were the ones that brought wisdom to us? Who are they? Who were they? You know, perhaps there's favorite professors. Perhaps there's that grandma that, man, she just had a way of explaining things. And is it, it's something that's different just than knowledge, right? It's somehow, when you think about wisdom, it's something that's, there's knowledge there's there, but it's something that helps us make sense, helps us live into this incredible mystery of what we're living right now. Unfortunately, in our world, it seems like knowledge has replaced wisdom. It's knowledge, especially scientific knowledge. Or knowledge is so important, facts, and we dissect and we dice up things so that we could know this and that, and all of that is good. But sometimes we put wisdom off to the side and, you know, to our own detriment as we're looking at our climate situation. I was talking to a priest in Pennsylvania the other day, and he was saying he heard a news person say, well, enjoy this hot day today because this summer and this day will be the coolest one you'll have for the rest of your life. And he was like, oh, shoot. But, you know, aren't we learning something like, wow, we need the wisdom of learning how to be in our world as it is and interrelate with nature in a way that brings life to all of us, right? Where does that come from? How does that type of wisdom sort of trump other ways of being in the world, right? They say, you might have heard the saying, you can't catch the wild ass by running. But the only way to catch the wild ass is to run. Have you ever heard that saying? Maybe not. You haven't. It's an old saying. It goes way back when. What does it mean is that we can't force God to give us wisdom. It's like, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do all these exercises. I'm going to make it happen. It's like I'm going to go to school for 8 years, and then I'll get it, right? It's not that way. It's a gift, right? It's a gift. But unless we avail ourselves to it, we can't receive it. Thus, if you don't run, you aren't going to catch the wild ass. So how do we receive wisdom in our lives? How does she come into our lives? This is a time where we're so small, I could ask questions. I'll repeat the answer for our folks on Zoom, and if they'd like to chime in too. How do we receive wisdom? How have you received wisdom in your life? How has she come into your life? Yes, Frank.
Just by living a long time.
Just by living a long time. Very good. Thank you. Buddy's got his hand up.
When I least expect it.
There you go. She comes when you least expect it. Yeah.
Personal life experiences.
Thank you. Personal life experiences. Thank you, Joanne.
For me, because I'm not too intelligent, it's doing things badly or flat out wrong. And that gives me humility that then leads me closer to wisdom.
Yeah, humility leads you closer to wisdom. Beautiful.
By letting go.
Letting go, yeah.
Go, yes.
By silence.
By silence.
By silence, thank you.
Along those lines of silence is to pause or pausing and then to listen.
Pausing and listening.
Interacting with people.
Interacting with people.
Reflecting on the experiences that we've had in order to listen to the wisdom in those.
Yes, reflecting on our experiences.
When I go to the desert and shut up and listen.
That's just really succinct. Shut up and listen. Yes. Thank you. Sometimes it takes pain in our lives to crack us open, to be willing to listen. You talked about humility, Greg, right? What is it that happens in our lives that sometimes just wakes us up and we're like, oh, I finally learned that lesson. I want to share with you a story. Of someone who was trying to figure out this kind of prayer thing, and perhaps where wisdom would come, right? Once I related the story of an old man, this is from Brendan Manning, Abba's child. Once I related the story of an old man dying of cancer, the old man's daughter had asked the local priest to come and pray with her father. When the priest arrived, he found the man lying in bed with his head propped up on two pillows and an empty chair beside his bed. The priest assumed that the old fellow had been informed of his visit. "I guess you were expecting me," he said. "No, who are you?" "I'm the new associate at your parish," the priest replied. "When I saw the empty chair, I figured you knew I was going to show up." "Oh yeah, the chair," said the bedridden man. "Would you mind closing the door?" Puzzled, the priest shut the door. "I've never told anyone this, not even my daughter," said the man, "but all my life, I have never known how to pray. At the Sunday Mass, I used to hear the pastor talk about prayer, but it always went right over my head. Finally, I said to him one day in sheer frustration, 'I get nothing out of your homilies on prayer.' 'Here,' says the pastor, reaching into the bottom drawer of his desk, 'read this book by Hans Urs von Balthasar. He's a Swiss theologian. It's the best book on contemplative prayer in the 20th century.' 'Well, Father,' says the man, 'I took the book home and tried to read it. But in the first three pages, I had to look up 12 words in the dictionary.' I gave the book back to my pastor, thanked him, and under my breath whispered, 'For nothing.' I abandoned any attempt for prayer," he continued, "until one day about 4 years ago, my best friend said to me, 'Joe, prayer is just a simple matter of having a conversation with Jesus. Here's what I suggest. Sit down on a chair, place an empty chair in front of you, and in faith see Jesus in the chair. It's not spooky because he promised, "I'll be with you all days." Then just speak to him and listen in the same way you're doing with me right now." So, Padre, I tried it, and I've liked it so much that I do it a couple hours every day. I'm careful, though. If my daughter saw me talking to an empty chair, she'd have a nervous breakdown or send me off to the funny farm." The priest was deeply moved by the story and encouraged the old guy to continue on the journey. Then he prayed with him, anointed him with oil, and returned to the rectory. 2 nights later, the daughter called to tell the priest that her daddy had died that afternoon. "Did he seem to die in peace?" he asked. "Yes. When I left the house around 2 o'clock, he called me over to the bedside, told me one of his corny jokes, and kissed me on the cheek. When I got back from the store an hour later, I found him dead. But there's something strange, Father. In fact, beyond strange, kind of weird. Apparently, just before Daddy died, he leaned over and rested his head on the chair beside his bed." He goes on to say, "The Christ of faith is no less accessible to us in his present risenness than was the Christ of history in his human flesh to the beloved disciple." So, brothers and sisters, I encourage you, whatever your way of seeking wisdom, being open to the Spirit, allowing God to invade the depths of your being, continue to do that. Share it with others. Go deeper and deeper and deeper until you find that joy just sort of bubbles up, until you find that there's this living water that's always like there for you to give to others all around you. So I'm going to make this prayer for us that comes right after that reading. This is Solomon's prayer. Now with you is wisdom, who knows your works and was present when you made the world, who understands what is pleasing in your eyes. Send her forth from your holy heavens and from your glorious throne, dispatch her, that she may be with us and work with us, that we may know what is your pleasure. For she knows and understands all things and will guide us discreetly in our affairs and safeguard us by her glory. Amen.